the government corporate whores who rob us blind and lock the doors. Lord, I'll offer a great deal if you teach us how to heal. Oh, I wish that we could heal. Wish that I could hear.
Hi, everybody. This is Richard Sachs again on Lost Arts Radio, and we have a great show tonight because we have a couple of our friends who came back, Dr. Remo Labo, MD, and Ralph Fusatola, JD, the co-trustees of Natural Solutions Foundation, with lots of other background to talk about as we get to it. And what we want to do briefly tonight is we're going to talk about some updates up to the time that we're talking here of what's going on and the directions that things are going, and some of the key issues about masks and vaccines and what's going on recently with the frontline doctors that's been censored. And Trump tried to retweet that and was really supporting it, and he got censored. And then there was an executive order that he issued to try to stop censorship, which is like 4 years late, but at least it's in the right direction. And there's questions legally about how the Supreme Court will destroy that executive order and say that it's illegal, and quite a few things that we can talk about. And Ralph is going to be here just for a little while, so I want to make sure that we have time in the first few minutes to get his input on any of these things that he'd like to address. And welcome to both of you. Thanks for being
here. Thank
you. Well, you know, in my view, and this is not a view that a lot of libertarians hold, but it's my view, the crony corporations like Twitter and Facebook and Google are not really private companies. They are really much closer to being deep state actors. And since they are profiting from our internet commons, something that was developed with all of our tax money, for all of our benefit, they ought to behave like good utilities and simply provide a service. And this is, interestingly enough, what Zuckerberg has been saying. He doesn't want a censor. He doesn't want to become a censor. Of course, they are. On one hand, he says, I don't want to do this. On the other hand, he's doing it.
He's really trying not to, as hard as he can.
Right. So I guess the president's executive order is going to be censored, too.
I'm sure it would be, and I'm feeling lately that the Supreme Court is part of the whole censorship organization, right?
The Chief Justice has turned out to be an interesting character, but when you look at what he's doing, he is consistent in his approach. So, yeah. For example, in this very recent decision on abortion issues, originally he had voted against a previous decision. And he was in the minority, and now he's called upon on a new case, and he says that prior decision is a precedent, and I have to abide by precedents, so I have to vote in favor of it on this time. So he was being careful. The same thing with the Obamacare case, where they he created the majority of the court to say that the penalty, the Obamacare penalty, was not a penalty; it was a tax. And as a tax under the Anti-Injunction Act, you can't challenge it until it's due and paid. And no one had to pay it. So no one could ever challenge it because it was never due because they repealed it first. So he said, sorry, you came to court too soon. Come back when it's a real issue.
So what happens in general?
With his judicial conservatism.
Okay.
You know, I don't agree with his decisions necessarily, but I understand where he's coming from. And it's not that he's a blind believer in stare decisis and precedent, because he took an occasion a couple of years ago when when a party to a case invoked the precedent of the concentration camps where the Japanese Americans were put during World War II. And his comment in the decision was that case was decided wrong when it was decided, and it is not precedent for any purpose.
So because it's incorrect.
Because it was bad law. He said bad law when it was decided.
Okay, Ralph, what happens when the president or somebody like that does something that is in line with their constitutional duty and the Supreme Court says they can't do it?
Supreme Court is the final arbiter of what the Constitution means. In fact, they've actually said that. They've said that only the Supreme Court can determine the meaning of the words in the Constitution, which has allowed them to do bizarre things like pretend that the legal tender clause doesn't say what it says, and things like that. I mean, they certainly have usurped the Constitution. I offer a countervailing legal theory, and that is that whenever the Supreme Court usurps the plain meaning of the Constitution, that usurpation is no law, and no future Supreme Court is bound by it.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable to me, so probably nobody will listen to it.
Right.
But, you know, it the issue with the censorship that Trump is very late and kind of weakly, I think, but at least trying to fix is around Section 230, which says that the social media platforms, which are really like utilities, because they're going to allow all these different players to use the public square,
right,
they can't moderate the comments. They just have to put them out. Right.
Right now, they're claiming there's something called a community standard, and unknown persons can exercise that standard. And if enough people, I guess, complain about you, they'll take you down. But that, to me, is a direct violation. Direct violation.
Yeah, because then you're moderating. You're just excusing it by somebody liking it.
You got it.
So. I think this applies to what both of you guys have been doing for a long time, trying to get the truth out about things like supplements and nutrition and vaccines and informed consent, stuff like that, which should be self-evidently obvious. And the truth about those things gets censored constantly on social media and mainstream media as well.
For example, Dr. Judy Moskowitz's and Ken Hackenlively's little video called The Plandemic. It's been viewed 1 billion times so far.
That's encouraging.
Censored from all of the platforms.
Right.
Keep on putting it back up. You know, it's like the internet is much more robust than the people who think they control it actually understand it to be.
Yeah, that should be helping.
I'm just surprised, and it's really heartening to see how powerful the voice of people can be when they act together. And that's why my message to everybody today, and I can only stay for a short while, is you need to go to drrematruthreports.com or to opensourcetruth.com and join Dr. Rima's email list.
Right.
That email list is getting bigger and stronger. And the bigger and stronger it is, the louder our voices become. We need you to not only do that, but we need you to go a step further and make sure that you join in the battle by getting your vaccine exemption card. And this gold card now has a companion card, which is on its way to us and will be in our hands in a week or thereabouts. And that is a silver card that says, can't mask, don't ask. And that is the, of course, big message the American with Disabilities Act says, that they can't force you to do things like wear a face mask if it would harm you. I know personally, if I have one of those masks on for more than a few minutes, I have problems breathing, I get headaches, I get confused, detrimental to my health, and I can't mask.
Let me say from a medical point of view, that's because the oxygen concentration has dropped that you're breathing in. The air outside your mask hasn't changed, but the air inside your mask has. And the concentration of carbon dioxide has gone up because you're breathing it out and it stays there. So you are breathing an enriched carbon dioxide atmosphere, creating a medical condition called hypercapnia and another one called hypoxia, too much CO2, not enough oxygen. And the consequences are very serious. Life depends for creatures that breathe on breathing in sufficient oxygen, getting it into your blood, and breathing out sufficient carbon dioxide. And we have a whole bunch of systems designed to say, oh my God, there's a physiological crisis. There isn't enough oxygen. There's too much carbon dioxide. And you get all kinds of readjustments in your body. Well, the official political theater line about masking is that it's a problem for a very small number of people. So in the recent ebook that I just wrote, and it's available at opensourcetruth.com and drrematruthreports.com, available free, one of the things I did was a quick calculation showing that for a minimum of 54% of the people in the United States, masking, even with something as light as a tissue, is contraindicated medically. It's hazardous to your health. And, oh, by the way, the science is very clear about the transmission of viral disease. Masks, even N95 respirator masks, don't work. Bacterial disease, yes. Yes, if you're talking about pertussis or some other bacterial disease, masking is a good idea. Viral disease, not even close.
For the diseases that would have, you know, helped cut the transmission, the one of the big issues is, even in that case, do you make all the healthy people wear the mask too?
Well, I mean, the whole thing is so nonsensical. It as someone we know, Ralph and I knows, it makes your teeth hurt. It's just insane. The logic package is, you know, lost somewhere in Outer Mongolia, but it's not here. Yeah. There is no logic to healthy people masking, and viral disease is not prevented in its transmission or prevented in its dispersal by masks. It doesn't work, nor does social distancing work. 6 feet, that's nice. However, the issue is that droplet spread is about 27 feet, and droplets linger in the air for as much as 2 days. So what? Social distancing. Don't come near me. Don't come within 6 feet of me. Why not?
So it should be, don't come within 27 feet of me, I guess.
It should be, how about support your immune system? How about drop this nonsense and support your damn immune system? We like nanosilver 10 parts per million and a healthy diet and sunshine and vitamin C and fresh air and physical activity and clean food without GMOs or chemicals in them. That seems like a reasonable strategy, not, for God's sakes, political theater, which is just burdensome idiocy.
It's more than that, Dr. Rima. Masking is mind control.
This is all about mind control.
And so Gerald Celente, the futurist, when he used the phrase sadomasochism to describe what's going on, is correct. It is cruel. It is demeaning. It is mind control.
Absolutely.
And you can't smile through a mask.
And it diminishes your immune system by creating anxiety. And we know from the science of psychoneuroimmunology, which says basically your mind and your body are the same thing, and your immune system is right in there, we know perfectly well that creating fear drives down, or experiencing fear and anger and anxiety drives down the immune system level of confidence. Social isolation drives down the immune system's confidence. And so these things that we're doing as part of the Fauchism, which is the term that we are using for medical tyranny, Fauchism, named after Dr. Anthony Fauci. Oh, I'm sorry, as in president, soon to be President Fauci.
No, right now. I mean, he's been allowed to be president up to now. That was my point.
Okay, as in President Fauci, God help us all. And that's the same as President Gates, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
It's kind of a triumvirate, yeah. God help us all.
Right.
So the point is that these Fauchistic edicts are political theater designed to suppress your immune system and to control your mind, to teach you subservience, look down, close your mouth,
exactly.
obey, or what? Risk the virus.
Fauci is, to be fair, considering coming up with something that's going to make it much better now. And that is, from what I'm hearing, that we're going to be able to wear not just masks, but masks and goggles, and these may be...
Shields. Is it possible that the surgical shields are better?
And they're very... Wait, I have to say, those shields are a wonderful idea, because we all know that viruses travel only in straight lines. And
right.
Viruses do not are not subject to the movement of airflow.
Well, plus, if you're already wearing a face shield and something comes up and you have to stop and use power tools, you're all ready to do it.
You're right. And those face shields can be made. Go ahead, Ralph.
If you have to do emergency surgery, you can wear a surgical mask.
Exactly.
Well, if you're doing emergency surgery with your shield and your mask, you have to stop and lick the face shield to make sure that it's completely clean.
That's a good point. Good point.
So, we're talking about logical insanity and political mind control. And every time your logic package says, what? Don't just say, oh, well, I guess I don't understand it. You do understand it.
Yeah.
Your gut and your brain are saying, that doesn't make any sense. Like, you, by not vaccinating your child, are endangering my vaccinated child.
Right.
The logic of that is absent, because if the vaccine works, my unvaccinated child has no impact on you or on your kid whatsoever. But people say, I guess, and then they accept it. That's mind control. If it doesn't make sense, guess what? It doesn't make sense. If it's political theater, if it's Fauchism, you can be sure it doesn't make sense. It's useful to them to have you bamboozled, confused, compliant, and obedient.
Well, they're putting up a sign in the stores now, too, that your mask protects me and my mask protects you. And that's new science that I guess they just invented. And what that means is they can go after you because you're endangering everybody else if you're not wearing your mask.
That's why the Natural Solutions Foundation created the card, which should be here by the beginning of next week, and we'll start shipping them out. The card that says, I am seeking the protection of the Americans with Disability Act. You do not have the right to question me or to challenge me or to demand any kind of confirmation or to segregate me. Well, yeah, you can shop, but only when other unmasked people are here. These are criminal actions punishable by criminal prosecution and fines. And you can't do it. So that card is a statement of your legal right, in the same way that this card is a statement of your legal right to refuse all vaccines. Now, this card works all over the world. Any place that a country has ratified the Geneva Convention, which is pretty much every place. The other card is specifically designed for people within the umbrella of the United States government. That means people in the U.S. or people on U.S. property, for instance, a military base or a an embassy abroad. So that's specific to U.S., but every country in the world has their own equivalent of the Disability Act, and that those cards can be created in other countries.
Bye, folks.
Ralph just disappeared.
A good man is hard to find.
Yeah, especially when they disappear like that.
Yeah, Ralph is a very good man. Ralph has been a freedom warrior as an attorney and as a trustee of this organization and as an advocate for health rights and natural health for many, many years. He is a national treasure.
I totally agree. And he's also an example, because if all the other attorneys followed his lead, they could probably turn everything around very quickly.
Absolutely. Right? We wouldn't have to follow Shakespeare's advice and first kill the lawyers.
No, not at all. It would be just the opposite. And Ralph, they wouldn't even be involved in killing us either.
Ralph should have a kill the lawyer exemption.
Absolutely. And I think all of them should earn the same thing. You know, because what if they attacked everything that was a ridiculous, you know, invalid law and taking away your freedoms that you're supposed to have and just overturned it? I think they could do that.
You mean, what if they actually acted in the best interests of society?
Yeah, it would be totally incredible. I mean, though, some of those lawyers, if you've noticed, they become judges.
Yes, and they do.
If and politicians and everything. And
if they do.
If they kept that ethical basis, I mean, you wouldn't even recognize life on this planet anymore. It'd be incredible.
I've got an even wilder and even crazier idea, Richard.
Yeah.
What if doctors actually serve the interests of their patients?
Yeah. I mean, that's almost...
What if they stopped using toxic drugs and instead used frequency nutrition and other wholesome and health-inducing strategies instead of pharmaceuticals? And what if they stopped using vaccines and didn't damage and weaken the immune system of every single person and the nervous system of every single person that they inject? Oh, my goodness. It's too much to contemplate.
You know, most of the doctors that are using toxic medicine... That's actually all they know how to do. And in order for them to switch, like you're saying, they'd probably need some real education, seems to me.
Well, you know, having survived medical education, having actually been through it, lived through it, and having it basically not change the way I think, which is sort of interesting.
You realize that's very rare.
I do. I am a physician. Maybe your audience doesn't know. I know you are aware of this. I'm a physician who's been in practice for 50 years, five decades. And during that time, I have never written a prescription for a pharmaceutical. And my postgraduate training is in adult and child psychiatry. So I've been able to practice both psychiatry and medicine without pharmaceuticals, because pharmaceuticals are really bad for you, and achieve wonderful results frequently in cases where there was supposed to be no hope at all, or the patient was doomed to die or whatever.
Right.
Well, the way I got there was simply by thinking, by not accepting illogic as if it were logic. And I learned biochemistry. Biochemistry is nutrition. Nutrition is applied biochemistry. And I thought about it and I said, wait, but we could do this, but if we give this, but there probably isn't enough of that, but we could support the other thing. And by gum, it worked. I mean, it took a little bit more time sometimes.
But you've noticed that the typical mentality is a case where the educational system has actually been successful and surgically removed, I guess by psychic surgery or something, they've removed whatever organ is in charge of logic. And it doesn't exist anymore. And maybe it exists, but it's dormant. And so what you need to do is be able to help the people who didn't hold out like you did and are really unaware that there are options. And it's
the options are all over the internet. Before the internet, you could say that. the options are all over the internet. If I want to treat arthritis, mine, yours, somebody else, sure, all I have to do is go to the internet and type in arthritis natural treatment.
Right.
Now, some of what I get is nonsense. You know,
yeah.
Paint yourself blue and rub chicken feathers on your head. That's probably not going to work.
Right.
But if I pursue it, I will find things that might be of interest, and I can pursue those. The internet is endlessly deep. You can keep
okay,
going.
Okay, so maybe there's instead of having to give you the assignment of starting a whole new medical school, you could just in the next 5 minutes explain to the rest of the doctors how to make that transition.
Okay. Let me say something before I give you the 5 minute magic transition
yeah,
that you can make by yourself free, no cost, and even get continuing medical education credits for it.
Right.
Woohoo. Before that, let me say that what you've been educated to believe has given you an elevated status in society and a level of knowledge that approaches the godlike has actually been quite the opposite. What you've been exposed to is slave education. You've been taught to love Massa, to kiss the feet of Massa, and welcome his subjugation of your reason and your innate wisdom and your compassion. You've been trained to want the approval of those above you and to want to rise in their hierarchy, and the way you do that is by surrendering your own independent thought. If you have a thought that you might be able to do this or that or the other thing within very narrow confines, you can try this or that. But if it's out here and it's doing amazingly good things and it's working for many patients, but it's outside the orthodoxy, you dare not speak its name. It's the cure that you dare not speak, what used to be said is the love that dare not speak its name, when Oscar Wilde couldn't talk about the fact that he was homosexual and was actually sent to jail for having a homosexual affair. Okay, now we can say that. Okay, that's all right to say. But what you cannot say as a physician is, wait, there's a better way, and it doesn't poison enzymes, because every pharmaceutical works by the same mechanism. They all poison enzymes. Enzymes are the stuff of life. You poison enzymes, things happen. You might like them, and therefore you call it a therapeutic benefit. But what if you don't want to poison enzyme systems? What if you want to support enzyme function? What if you want to support mitochondria? What if you want to support the innate capacity for health that every cell, every organ, every tissue, every organism has? It's built in. But if you want to do that, well, then you can't practice conventional allopathic medicine unless you're a surgeon or an ER doc. And then, yeah, okay. But the point is, if you want to serve your patients, your family, yourself, then you have to surrender your dearly acquired and firmly held belief system that the only way to go is the allopathic pharmaceutical route or its voodoo medicine. Nope. Allopathic medicine, which is almost entirely unsupported by valid science. Sorry about that. Nutrition, frequency medicine, ancient modes of healing are actually very well established. Some of them don't work, but then a lot of drugs don't work either, do they? Like the whole aspirin deal. Used to be you had to tell your patients and you had to take aspirin to prevent blah, 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 and it turned out to be bullshit, didn't it? There was no science behind it.
Prior to about 1910, in this country, it was really different being a doctor, and they were expected to try to figure things out and see what worked and what helped the patient and, you know, go to the patient's house with your bag and try to do your own research simultaneous with your practice. And then after 1910, a few years later, gradually up to now, doctors have been becoming facilitators instead of real doctors and just following orders which have become computerized, when now you've got enumerated diagnoses, right? And each one is matched up with a treatment that's acceptable. And if you vary from that, you can get in a lot of serious trouble at this point, right? I've been told that a lot by doctors.
A great deal of what you're talking about, the change, can be laid at the doorstep of John D. Rockefeller Jr., who was a transformative agent in our society, in education, in medicine, in social structures of every kind.
Was he the one that sold crude oil for a cancer treatment?
Yes. Okay. Unfortunately, John D. Rockefeller Jr. was a man whose interests were entirely psychopathic. That is to say, whatever served his perceived interest was acceptable, and it did not matter what the implications of his actions might be. Very Gatesian. He was, in his day, the wealthiest man that we know of on the planet. I suspect that there were wealthier people, but they are not known. I suspect that the Rothschild family had more individual as well as much more aggregate wealth. But John D. Rockefeller certainly was the wealthiest person of his era that I know of. John D. Rockefeller Jr. was the man who introduced eugenics to Germany. He sponsored the Kaiser Wilhelm Institutes long before Hitler was on the scene. He bankrolled Hitler. He sent his personal public relations guy, John Ivey, to Europe to conduct a little finishing school before they publicly came out for Goebbels, Goering, and Hitler on how to take over an entire society's perceptions and behaviors. He decided, his father was an itinerant herbalist and a snake oil salesman and a homeopath. And to his dying day in 1994, John D. Rockefeller Jr. never used any treatments like the royal family, never used any treatments other than homeopathic. But he was in charge of, he owned the production of, or he controlled the production of, the world's petroleum supply in the late 19th century. And he made a mistake, a dramatic and highly influential, consequential mistake. He said, you know, the internal combustion engine is okay, drives, you know, steam trains and things like that, but it's never really going to amount to all that much. Consequently, here I am, the man in charge of the world's petroleum production globally, and I got too much oil. So I got to find something else to do with my oil, my petroleum. And so he sent agents around the world to look for alternative consumption streams that would use up the petroleum that he was extracting or he was financing the extraction of from around the world. And some guys came back and they said, hey, boss, we've just been to Germany and they got this cool thing going. They've got an organic chemistry revolution going. They can take carbon and oxygen and hydrogen and sulfur and a couple of other molecules and they can stick them together in this science called organic chemistry and they make new compounds. And where do they get the carbon and the hydrogen and so on? Well, they use that gunk that's left at the bottom of a cracking tower, a petroleum separator, because you get crude and you get light crude and you get sweet crude and you get this and that and the other thing. But at the bottom, there's this sticky, gluey, gunky mess of hydrocarbons and some sulfur and other stuff. But it's basically carbon, oxygen, and hydrogen. All right. Together. So they take this stuff, this petrochemical gunk that your cracking towers are making all over the world, and they play with it and they expose it to heat and pressure and stuff, and they make pharmaceuticals out of it. They make lots of things, but they also make drugs out of it. And now the drugs are very poisonous. They're called coal tar derivatives because that gunk at the bottom of the tower is called coal tar. So they make coal tar derivatives, and then they sell them. And John D. Rockefeller, never a man to pass up a good investment, said, well, that's cool. And he sent people back to Germany and to Switzerland and to France, and he bought controlling interests in every pharmaceutical company. And then he said, okay, cool. Now I got the controlling interest of all these toxic coal tar derivative drugs, the pharmaceuticals, but nobody wants them. The only people who use these coal tar derivatives are the allopaths, the allopathic physicians. And you can see from the literature of the time, anybody in their right mind didn't go to an allopath. Allopaths burned and purged and did really, really terrible things to you. And generally, if you went to see an allopath, you were going to die or be a lot worse when you finished. You could go to a licensed chiropractor, a licensed homeopath, a licensed eclectic who used many different things, including herbalism, a licensed herbalist. You could go to a licensed osteopath. There were many kinds of licensed, controlled medical practitioners whom you could choose from at that time, but none of them used pharmaceuticals. So John D. Rockefeller, in early Fauciistic behavior, said, well, we'll fix that. And he did the following thing. First of all, he gave $1 million. Now, in those days, that was some serious money. He gave $1 million to every state. And he said, you have a land-grant university. I want you to make a land-grant medical school teaching only allopathic medicine. And then he said, I want you to, and then he gave $1 million to Stanford University, to Harvard University, and to Yale University to create an elite tier. So now we have the upper echelon, and then we have the state universities or state schools. And then he said, well, we have to drive these competitors out of business. And so he gave $1 million. Remember, this is a Gates-like wealthy man with Gates-like depopulation beliefs and eugenics beliefs. So he gave $1 million to each state to set up a medical board. And the purpose of the medical board was one thing and one thing only, and that was to regulate so that only allopathic medical people could practice medicine. He also gave another $1 million to each state. We're now at $3 million per state. He gave another $1 million to each state to legislate the delicensing of everybody except allopaths. And he set up the Rockefeller Institute, and the president of the Rockefeller Institute was the brother of a guy named Abram Flexner. The president, Ephraim Flexner, was given the task in writing of promoting, propagating, and promulgating the pharmaceutical industry. Those are three important words, because a few years later, when Rockefeller sponsored the creation of the FDA, which at that time was called the Food and Cosmetics Agency. Now we call it the Fraud and Death Agency. When he sponsored that research, their purpose in Article 16 was to propagate, promote, and promulgate the pharmaceutical industry. So if people say the FDA is not doing it by not treating the other parts of health fairly. No, the FDA is doing exactly what it was set up to do, which is promote, propagate, and promulgate the pharmaceutical industry. That's all Rockefeller.
Is that the job that Congress gave them to do then?
Yeah.
Yes,
when they passed the enabling legislation, I believe it was in 1922, that created what we now call the Food and Drug or the Fraud and Death Administration. That was precisely the job they gave them to do in the enabling legislation.
So and they must have had little discussions with the congressmen to explain to them why that was the only legitimate branch of medicine, right?
So yeah, it's called money.
Yeah, exactly.
It's called money. Yeah, same thing pharmaceutical industry does today and the biotech industry does. They buy votes. So they bought the votes. And the practitioners of the other medical traditions, the licensed practitioners, were given the following choices. You can keep practicing homeopathy, eclecticism, herbalism, osteopathy, chiropractic, et cetera. You can do that, and we'll send you to jail. Or you can surrender your license. What do you think? And that was the choice they got in state after state after state. Who was left? Well, Abram Flexner produced his famous Flexner Report in 1913. He had been given the job by Andrew Carnegie, another scumbag with a lot of money, and John D. Rockefeller Jr., to go around and to examine all the types of medicine and come back with a science-based, evidence-based report on what was good medicine and what was not. Now, we know from historical documents that the fix was in. He already wrote to the allopathic organization, the American Medical Association, a small, struggling, deservedly starving organization. And he said, don't worry, the fix is in. At the end of the day, the only guy that will be left standing is you. And so he propagated his Flexner report. John D. Rockefeller Jr. said, well, that's a surprise. Look at that. Only allopathic medicine deserves to survive. Okay. And he hired people like Edwin Bernays for Sigmund Freud's nephew, who was the father of public relations, and John Ivey, John D. Rockefeller Jr.'s personal public relations guy, was a disciple of Edwin Bernays. So we have this cabal set up to convince you that unless you're wearing a white coat, unless you're wearing a white coat, you don't know anything about your body. Right. Unless you are a trained professional, and remember, most doctors recommend camels, right? Unless you're a trained professional, you don't know anything about health. And anybody who says they do is practicing voodoo medicine. That whole thing was very carefully scripted and very carefully engineered into the society by John D. Rockefeller Jr. So now we have medical school that teaches us science-based, evidence-based medicine, except most journal information, most science-based, evidence-based information is pure bullpucky. It doesn't mean anything except somebody paid for the research. Real research, and the editors of the medical journals, the British Medical Journal, the New England Journal of Medicine, the Lancet, and so on, they do their job for a number of years, and then they write some book or some editorial, and they say, wait a minute, this is garbage. Peer review is nonsense. These papers are meaningless. They're all scripted and paid for by the interested parties, the pharmaceutical industry. I resign. This is a regular process about every 20 years. So we have a huge fraud that we've been taught to accept as deep truth. And doctors are the priests, the priestlings of this religion, because it's not science. A little bit of it is science, but most of it is just a religion. You're not allowed to question the fundamental tenets. If you do, they'll burn you at the stake. That's religion. That's, you know, religion gone bad.
Yeah. So at this point, doctors really don't have much discretion in the main system. They have to look up the approved treatment for whatever the approved diagnosis is and
There is a little bit of wiggle room. It's called off-label. If I have a prescription drug And I think that it, or I know that its indications are A, B, C, D, E, and F. Mm-hmm. I can use it for A, B, C, D, E, and F. But I think, golly, my buddy at the meeting last week told me that he was using it for G, H, and I over here. I have the freedom to use this drug off-label, entry G, H, and F, or G, H, and I, if I can remember the alphabet.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's called off-label. And, you know, it's kind of looked at with a scant eye, but it's legal. So that kind of discretion is okay. So the woman, Dr. Emmanuel from Houston, originally from Cameroon, then went to medical school in Nigeria, now practicing medicine, who said, I am treating 350 COVID-19 patients with diabetes and heart disease and hypertension, and not one of them died. Nobody has to die. So she was very passionate in the frontline doctor's video. God bless her. What happened? Now, she's legally within her rights. She is permitted to do that because it's an off-label use. Immediately what happened is she was discredited, and it was said, well, she believes that we have alien DNA. Right. Well, yes, she does. She's a pastor of a church, and she believes that disease is caused by demons. Well, yes, she does. But what does that have to do with the fact that she claims that she has treated more than 350 people positive for COVID-19, although the testing means nothing, never mind that for the moment. Okay, with COVID-19, who couldn't breathe, who didn't die because she treated them with hydroxychloroquine and zinc and azithromycin. And she says, that's my protocol, and it works. What does that have to do with the fact that she believes in demons? A lot of people believe in demons. I don't. But then again, I don't believe in pharmaceuticals either. So what does that have to do with anything? And the answer is absolutely nothing. But they came in, bam, to make her look like some kind of lunatic. Although I think that the last count, 46% of the United States population believes in demons. But anyway, make her look like a lunatic and make the science of what she might be offering go away through mind control.
Right.
That's how we practice medicine. Now, a decent doctor is going to say, I don't care what she does on Sunday. That's cool. But, you know, I go to church and I take a piece of bread and I think it's God. Okay, that's cool. The point is, does it work? Is she right? Is there a better way? Is that a good way? Let's find out. And every doctor who's been trained in a modern medical school has the fundamental tools available to him or her to think, to use the biochemistry charts and examine the processes, to think about pathology, to think about pathophysiology, and to examine this mentally. If they choose to surrender it, shame on them. But they have those tools. And those tools don't rust. It's better than riding a bicycle.
That all makes sense. And I know that video has been censored more than almost any other ones, except for Dr. Mikovits. We had her on the show, too, and it was immediately complained about and taken down from one of the major platforms. Yeah, I think the question is now, it's kind of a race to see which is going to happen first. And as far as Fauci and his friends are concerned, from what I've just recently heard, and we'll have to see if it happens, but they're getting ready to require goggles along with the masks as the tests proliferate. And the tests, you know, they figure it's really a consciousness test, and they've calculated that the public is now so unconscious that if the test is for something almost totally irrelevant, which is the generic coronavirus, that almost everybody has some sign of in their body.
And of course they do.
They're conflating both the antibodies to it and the residue from it as the same thing. And it doesn't matter.
And the it in the sentence that you just gave us is not COVID-19.
It's not SARS-CoV-2.
Any generic coronavirus. Now, people say the common cold is caused by the coronavirus, and that's kind of true. 15% of the common colds that the world experiences are caused by coronaviruses. But you've either had a coronavirus cold or a coronavirus exposure or a coronavirus infection that was subclinical, and so you didn't even notice you had it, or you had a couple of sniffles and you went to work anyway or school.
Yeah.
So coronavirus is ubiquitous in our immune history, yours, mine, everybody else's.
Yeah.
The tests are, according to the CEO of Roche, a major pharmaceutical company that in Switzerland, the tests are so meaningless that he named another CEO that, let's say Joe. Joe and I could do it in our kitchen at night and get better results. That's a quote. The tests are beyond meaningless. And I've written extensively about this at truthaboutcoronavirus.com. I invite you to go there. truthaboutcoronavirus.com. The tests are beneath meaningless, but they're very meaningful because they will be used against you. If you're positive, you will be required to get the vaccine. If you're negative, you will be required to get the vaccine. So accuracy in the test doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Negative or positive, false negative or false positive doesn't mean anything. Now, I will tell you about a little study that I'm conducting right this second, even as we speak.
Oh, yeah.
A physician who wants to purchase a PCR COVID-19 test must pay $130 per test. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the Natural Solutions Foundation is very rich in information, ideas, and activism, but not very rich in money. So we could only afford two tests.
Okay.
We bought two PCR tests.
Okay.
And under video surveillance, with the videos being recorded, we moistened the swab with sterile water. And the people doing that were wearing appropriate masking, not to walk around, but this was a specific purpose for masking, and goggles and gloves, all sterile technique. And they wet the swab with sterile water. And they sent the swabs in. And yesterday we got the results back. They said nothing was detected. Now, 800,000 people have had positive COVID tests reported to them and reported to the state officials in the absence of any test at all.
That's much more efficient and it's less invasive.
You don't have to do the test. You just give them a positive read.
Yeah, yeah.
So we didn't get that.
We got, nope.
We don't know why, but there's no DNA detected. But we'll do the test again for you at 50% of the price. So instead of $130, we'll do it for, what is that, $65.
Yeah.
Okay. And we said, okay. So we have sent off, and again, under sterile conditions on video, what we did was expose the PCR swab to pear juice from a fresh organic pear. Pears have DNA. As far as I know, fruits and vegetables do not get COVID viruses. Animals do. So if we use saliva from a dog, there are COVID viruses that dogs get that don't cause disease that would show up positive. So we didn't do that. We took a living organism, sliced it in half. We're doctors. We can cut things in half. And we rubbed the probe on the pear surface. So now we have DNA. And we have sent it off. And we shall see whether it comes back positive. We are inspired by Tanzania. In Tanzania, the Department of Health submitted DNA from goats and from a variety of vegetables. And they all tested positive, leading the president of Tanzania to say that COVID-19 is a hoax. That's very interesting. When the president of Guinea-Bissau, I believe it was, said that he showed up dead. He kicked WHO out and he showed up dead the next day. And the guy who took over said, no, WHO is a good thing. So far as I know, the president of Tanzania is still walking around. But the point is that we are repeating this to see what happens. It could come back negative. It could come back positive. We're interested to see if it comes back positive. And it well may.
Pretty interesting. I remember the president of Burundi, which is, I guess, the one that you were talking about.
I'm sorry, I said Burkina Faso. I meant Burundi. My error. Thank you for correcting.
Yeah, and the guy who was ready somehow to replace him immediately was saying, don't worry, we're going to fight this virus. Everybody should be locked down and wear masks and, you know, get ready for vaccines because we want to be safe and don't worry because, and anybody that denies this advanced medical treatment will be treated like a black sorcerer. Not a racist comment because it's mostly blacks in Burundi, but it's a dark energy, really nasty. And I don't think they like dark sorcerers. So that's exactly going to be the treatment. Yeah,
so what that says is that in Burundi, it is politically incorrect to question vaccinology, vaccinism, the religion of vaccines. And it is politically incorrect to question the religion of masks. It is politically incorrect to question the religion of vaccines here, to question the religion of bat soup being the source of coronavirus, which, of course, according to Nobel Prize winners and eminent virologists and epidemiologists, is just bat poop. It has nothing to do with science.
I think John Rappaport had a great presentation yesterday, and he was explaining that this testing that you just described is extremely dangerous for two reasons. Well, one of them he said, the other one we heard before. The one that he described was that he said, what's going to happen is if kids go back to school, for example, in the fall, which is in doubt in a lot of places right now, that what they'll do is they'll start constantly testing the classes and the schools and the teachers. And most of the governors are falling for this and saying that there should be testing all over. And everybody basically in government has been saying that to my knowledge, and they don't realize not only does the test meaningless, it's good for everybody being positive, but as soon as they get the kids in the school, and this is John's prediction, you know, we'll see if it happens. They said, we'll have a couple of reports that they were positive, and unfortunately, all the kids have to be locked down.
Exactly. They'll take the kids away from the parents.
And they won't even leave them at the school. They'll take them to an undisclosed location.
Right.
For an undisclosed amount of time and say,
correct.
And after a week or two, they'll say, well, don't worry because we rushed the vaccine through. And if they all get vaccinated, you might be able to take them home as long as we can check on them every day or so.
As long as you also get the vaccine.
Yeah, exactly right. Sorry, I meant to say that too. And I think this is one of the best arguments for homeschool on a universal scale that I've heard of so far.
On opensourcetruth.com, we just last night published an article documenting the fact that in Virginia, home instruction now requires the child to be vaccinated.
Okay, so they broke through that wall finally.
What? What? Yeah, so here's a case where if you say, oh, well, I guess it doesn't really make sense, but I guess they must know what they're doing. They do. They're trying to force universal gene editing vaccination with nanochips embedded, quantum dots embedded, so you are tracked and traced and controlled forever.
Right, exactly. And this is one of the ways the testing was dangerous, according to John, and I think he's right. And I don't think it'll be long before they try to do that in practice.
Well, I think he's absolutely right. And I have been writing about the dangers of testing at Open Source Truth and Truth About Coronavirus for months now. My first piece about testing, or no, it was the second, an early piece about testing, was inspired by the fact that I was supposed to have elective surgery. And in order to have the elective surgery, I had to submit to a coronavirus test. And I said that the testing is inaccurate and I don't know where the results go. And that's not okay with me. That puts me at risk.
Right.
And that's exactly the point.
What's the name of that plate, physiological plate between the top and the nasal cavity that all the olfactory nerves go through and get into the brain?
It's called the tentorum. It's a membrane tent that the brain rests upon, which is why we talk about neurological function as supratentorial or subtentorial, the rest of the nervous system.
And it's not like a solid bone. It's like half nerves or something because there's so many going through it.
Yeah, you got holes in it. You have lots of holes in your head.
People have been losing their sense of smell and being in pain for weeks in that area when they do the test with the swab, 6 inches up the nasal cavity, pushing against that plate. And I'm wondering.
Damaging the olfactory nerve.
Yeah.
By the way, when people in nursing homes or other facilities, or when they're debilitated or old and they lose their sense of smell, one of the things that doctors like me who know about nutrition and use it understand is that zinc often restores the sense of smell.
Yeah.
Now, one of the treatments being used is hydroxychloroquine plus zinc plus azithromax. Zinc is a very powerful physiological support in many, 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 many reactions. Your immune system requires zinc in the same way that it requires vitamin C, vitamin E, magnesium. There are lots of things that your immune system, vitamin D. If somebody is struggling with the loss of the sense of smell, probably from the mechanical damage of the swab, the olfactory nerve, my suggestion would be to try a high but not insanely high dose of zinc. And how do you find out? Look at the dose of zinc on an expensive bottle of multivitamins, not Centrum, not cheap garbage that's designed not to work, but an expensive bottle, and then double it as your daily dose.
Right.
See what happens.
And what about the type of zinc? Because speaking of zinc, I know there's orotate and gluconate and all these different ones. Do you have a preference, one that you think is most advisable, or just look for high quality?
There's zinc picolinate, there's orotate, there's gluconate. There are lots of different kinds of zinc. And the issue of what kind of mineral combinations are actually good for you is a very, very interesting and lengthy topic. Yeah. So I would say, don't go to Walmart, don't go to Target, don't go to a discount drugstore or a cheap food outlet and buy the cheapest vitamins, because they're not designed to work. They're just designed to get your money, and then you'll need pharmaceuticals anyway. What you need to do is spend a little bit of time, go online, and put in information questions like, what kind of zinc is safest? And read a couple of articles. They're easy to look at. And develop some ideas for yourself.
That kind of thing is on YouTube also. That's one thing that they don't see, as far as I know.
Yes, you can read, you can watch. You're a smart person. You don't need an expert making simple decisions for you.
Right.
And it's kind of good for your brain to stretch it a little bit and ask some questions and say, well, I'm a little confused. Good.
Yeah.
And you can dig a little deeper and develop a sense of confidence again. You knew how to know before you went to school. They beat that out of you. So learn how to know again.
Okay. And how do you make use of that awakened ability that you used to have, and you can have it again, when you start dealing with the specter of having to wear goggles to go out of your house, along with the mask and the vaccines and the attempted removal of your children because they have the wrong temperature or something like that. I mean, what can people be told with when they see all this stuff approaching?
The three most important words that a free person can say, and I've said this on your show before, and I say it anytime anybody gives me the opportunity to say anything. The three most important words that a free person can utter are, don't you dare. And then you have tools available to make sure that they don't dare. For instance, the Advanced Vaccine Directive card is a tool that legally asserts your right to refuse all vaccines. Just saying, oh, no, thank you, I refuse all vaccines, is not a legally binding assertion. This took quite a lot of research. It's a little card. Took quite a lot of research. Every word is essential. And it is a legally binding assertion of your right of informed consent in every country that has ratified the Geneva Convention, which is pretty much every country in the world. So this is a tool.
Informed consent is basically a law, an international law, if I understand you right.
It's not basically, it is an international law. And you need to understand this. Remember civics back in high school, back when they taught civics?
Yeah, that has been eliminated.
But yeah, it's unessential for people who are slaves. Slaves don't need to know civics and rights.
Right.
An international treaty is not just a handshake. The countries that sign and then ratify the treaty agree to make whatever the treaty says their own national law.
Right.
They change their national law to correspond to whatever the treaty says. And the Geneva Convention says that everyone, you and I, our neighbors, our kids, the people down the block that we don't like, our mother-in-laws, everyone has the right to refuse any medical treatment without pressure, prejudice, or punishment. Without pressure, prejudice, or punishment. And that is true in Australia, and it's true in New Zealand, and it's true in Canada, and it's true in the United States, and it's true in Switzerland, and it's true in Chile, and it's true all over the world. Because virtually every country in the world has signed and ratified the Geneva Convention. You have the right of informed consent to any medical procedure, mandate or not. Now, you must assert that right appropriately. If you don't assert it exactly right, it is deemed waived. Same thing in the United States with masking and goggling and face shielding and all that nonsense. If you say, under the Americans with Disability Act, my health is likely to be undermined by this procedure, you have the right to refuse it and not be questioned. You don't have to demonstrate. You don't. I go into stores and restaurants and whatever with a service dog, and people say, "Oh, what does your service dog do?" That's actually a crime under U.S. law. You're not allowed to question me, and I say, because I don't want to fight with them. I choose my fights. I say, "Oh, he keeps me out of trouble," and they say, "Oh, okay. Can I pet him?" And I say, no, he's a working dog, thank you. And that's the end of it. They're not allowed to segregate me. They're not allowed to pressure me. They're not allowed to ask for documentation. They're not allowed to know just exactly what kind of trouble does he keep me out of. They're not permitted to. That's a crime. And if they do persist and do so, I have the right to bring charges against them, and those charges are criminal. That's how the Americans with Disability Act, which was signed in 1990 and revised in 2009, works. And if I say putting a mask on undermines my health, all they can say is, okay, have a nice day.
Most of the localities that have passed ordinances or made proclamations that you must wear a mask all the time have an exemption in their in some wording or other that if it bothers your health, you don't have to do it.
Have to. That exemption is compliance with the Americans with Disabilities
exactly.
Act, the ADA. It's not because they're being nice guys, Richard. It's because, you know, it's like the speed of light, E equals MC squared. It's not just a good idea. It's the law.
I thought it was because they liked us so much, but
yeah.
To think about that. But I think what they're counting on is the other customers attacking you if they see you without a mask and they won't have to intervene.
Which is why I want to have my silver card to say, right? This is my right. Because I have the same right. When I go into my grocery store, which is a lovely organic grocery store and everybody's very woke, they say, may we offer you a mask? And I say, no, thank you. It would undermine my health. They say, okay. And I go through and nobody menaces me.
Yeah.
When I go into Costco, you can't go in unless you're wearing a mask. I say, well, it would undermine my health. And they say, well, I say, I'm protected by the Americans with Disability Act. And they say, oh, okay. And then the other customers go, ah, and I just smile.
Yeah. I've had customers jump quickly away from me so that they'd be over 6 feet.
Good.
And then most of them stop worrying about it at that point.
Good. Because 6 feet is the magic perimeter. Right,
yeah.
A virus reaching 6 feet goes, I can't infect any longer, it dies.
It's like Mr. Tooth Decay trying to penetrate the Colgate.
That Gardol shield,
yeah. Exactly, you remember. I don't remember the song for it, but I remember that Mr. Tooth Decay and everything.
I do, but it's too painful.
Okay, never mind. So before we go, because we just got a minute here, how do people, I got to preface what I'm about to say here. I was going to say, how do people stay in touch with, you know, not only getting the cards, but everything that you're doing on your site and your various email news lists and all the latest developments and what all the things you're doing. But I want to mention before that, just briefly in a second, that there was something that happened in 2009, if I remember the time right. And that's when they tried to do the swine flu hoax. That was very similar in some respects to what's happening now,
exactly.
Although not on a global scale like it is now. But your organization was the prime actor in stopping universal forced vaccination, which turned out to be the only thing that was killing people connected with the swine flu at that time.
Correct.
Right? And it was because you had a big mailing list and you had the software to reach everybody on that mailing list and tell them,
correct,
make it simple to contact all their representatives,
correct,
at once. And you need to do that again, right?
Correct.
And that requires some money to go to Natural
that's
Solutions.
That's exactly correct.
Okay. So
that system where you can actually reach out and send letters. And at that time, people were able to click a button after they filled in their name and their address and send a letter, which they could edit, send a letter of their choice and choosing to 28 people, to the president, the vice president, the head of Health and Human Services, the head of FDA, CDC, their governors, their state.
With one push of a button, basically.
Exactly. Right. Click. And we had 3.5 million people send 28 letters each in 11 days. At which point the United States government, which had already announced a fully funded program, they announced it to Congress. The FDA said, we have funded and are prepared to institute mandatory vaccination. They were just telling Congress. They weren't asking Congress.
Right.
They announced information that let us understand that these were sterilization vaccines. Through patented sterilization procedures that they announced they were going to use. And we told people about that, and they said, don't you dare, with the click of the button. And 3.5 million people sent 28 letters each. 11 days later, Kathleen Sebelius, the head of Health and Human Services at the time, which is the parent organization for FDA and CDC, said, oh, I guess we won't do that.
Yeah.
And program. Then they had a problem because OSHA wouldn't let them dispose of the vaccine. It was too dangerous. Had too many heavy metals and dangerous compounds. They couldn't burn it because of the mercury. They couldn't pour it down the drain. They couldn't do anything with it. So they did what any compassionate country would do. They sent this toxic sterilizing brew to the children of Africa. But The point is, they didn't get it into our bodies here. And it's the same program. It's the same intention. It's the same Gatesian monstrosity.
It's just much more exciting this time, because if you could sell 7 billion plus vaccines at once, and then I think very quickly they thought, wait a minute, why would you only want to do a vaccine that had to be only given once? What about one that you had to have every month? Which
why
is, I
not?
Think, the direction they're going right now.
And then there'll be a new plague. Fauci has already said, you
it's
can
look for
more Fauci-ism. We're coming up with a new swine flu that's even worse than the coronavirus, which is a bat vaccine, a bat virus. But we got another pig virus coming. Woohoo!
They're going to be competing for the same airtime, because Bill Gates announced that they'll probably do a bioweapon instead. And
He did announce that.
Maybe they can do them at the same time. I'm not sure.
They have already done a bioweapon. This is a bioweapon.
But I mean a really good one, not one that has such disappointing death numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, it does have disappointing numbers. And I am just putting up an article on Open Source Truth. Oh, you can sign up for our newsletter at opensourcetruth.com, at Dr. Rima Truth Reports.com, DRRIMA. truthreports.com, at opensourcetruth.com, or on our e-commerce site, which is where you get this, nsfmarketplace.com. They announced, I'm just putting up an article that should be on Open Source Truth later today, showing definitively that CDC changed their calculation numbers instead of using the ordinary statistical process that they've been using for 17 years that's all laid out in a handbook for doing exactly that.
Yeah.
They changed it, and they have overreported the fatalities by 92%+ for this disease.
Well, actually, to be fair, they have a new system now where one presumed or probable case, which doesn't need to be from any kind of test or anything. Like if you're in an emergency area geographically and like you sneeze or you cough or something that definitely shows you have COVID-19, that used to be one case, probable but assumed case. Now every probable case, as of late June, I think it is, means there are 16 other cases around it that you know are there.
Shazam!
Second wave,
third wave, fourth wave.
Yeah.
I tell you what, you go like this, I go like this, and now we've got second wave.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it works. That's how scientific it is.
Yeah,
this is
exactly
absolute nonsense. It isn't even close to science. It isn't even close to pseudoscience. Vaccinology is pseudoscience. It isn't even close to that. It's just horse pucky.
Well, what's real science about it actually is the careful study of how dumbed down the population may be at this point, and real calculations that's sufficient so that people would believe all this stuff.
You put Fauci up there, you put Birx up there, you put some other talking head up there, and they go blah, 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 and people say, okay.
Yeah, but with fear, you have to have the fear element too.
You're right.
And the last thing I want to mention is that if for the people who have a small amount of money to donate, and for all the billionaires that want to just take care of your whole expense account, how do they do that and where do they go to?
Well, there are a couple of ways. If you go to nsfmarketplace.com, on the main page, you'll see a support button. You click the support button and you can make a support contribution, which we appreciate enormously. You can also, if you want to make a donation of $100 or more, and we'd love that, you can go to our sister site, which is a 501c3 tax-exempt organization called the Institute for Health Research, INHERE.org. In here, and I hope it's in here as well as in here, INHERE.org. And that's for tax-exempt donations of any size. Right. You can also send checks, and that's the information of the address where you would send a check to the Natural Solutions Foundation is on the e-commerce site, nsfmarketplace.com. If you want to make a donation, we would love to make it easy for you.
Yeah, in here is .com or .org?
.org.
.org, okay.
Did I say .com? I apologize. It's
no,
in
I, did,
here,
I just did.
.org.
Okay. All right, that sounds great. So I hope that gives people some things to absorb and to support you and to tell other people to support you too.
Thank you.
And hold on, and we'll say goodbye in the break here in just a second. All right, you guys, there goes Dr. Rima Lebo. And before that, who had to leave early was Ralph Fusitola, the other member of the Natural Solutions Foundation trustee. And they've been our friends for a long time, doing some great work. They've been working with the world government. We're trying to eliminate or lower all the levels of nutrients that had to be in food, and trying to hold on to the Deshaies law so that people would not have supplements banned and called drugs, and all kinds of really great stuff, including their project in 2009, which is what killed the level 6 pandemic. And that was declared by WHO, and it was so arbitrary that they just said, okay, it's a level 6 pandemic. And when millions of people use the software that Natural Solutions Foundation gave them to write email letters saying, no, we're not having a pandemic with forced non-consensual treatments, Congress actually said, okay, I guess we won't. And the pandemic was withdrawn. All the vaccine sales still happened, and they ended up being given to African countries, I guess, which is completely unethical. But the point is they were stopped from the declared pandemic that they were trying to run. And the same thing could happen again if they get the support and the funding and the mailing lists and the number of people to reach. So I hope that happens. And the primary websites that you need to remember for them that you want to stay in touch with is drrimatruthreports.com, which is D-R-R-I-M-A, truthreports.com, opensourcetruth.com, all spelled out, NSF, I wrote these down, I think they're correct, nsfmarketplace.com, and inhere.org, which is instituteforhealthresearch.org. They're doing great work. They deserve to be supported. I had somebody who wanted to write to me after last time Dr. Lebo was on, saying, oh, I found out that the little card that she sells, the gold one, is fraudulent. And I said, well, that's interesting. And they said they called the number on the card. I'm sure they were well-meaning, but they said they called a number on the card that said, yep, the card's fraudulent. And I said, wait a minute. Why would the card list a number that's going to say the card is fraudulent? I've seen the card. I've got one of them. As far as I can tell, everything on it is true. And it's true that people get impressed with what's on a card, even though you certainly have the rights whether you have a card or not. The card doesn't give you the rights, but the card acknowledges them and explains them in a good way. And sometimes you might be able to have people respect your rights more if they're written down like that, done by an attorney with the right wording and everything. So I think the card sounds good. It's not a guarantee that anybody's going to honor it, because, you know, that's a breach of all kinds of laws is happening all over the place, but seemed like a worthwhile thing to me. And I think it's completely sincere and worded well by Ralph Fusitola, the attorney that I've known for a long time, and his work is excellent. So anyway, that's why I'm supporting them. I'm not making any money off of it. We don't get any commissions on anything they're doing, and that's one reason we're not doing commercials, is because I don't want to compromise the recommendation for something by saying, oh, you're just trying to sell it because you want Lost Arts Radio to get rich because of it. And that's not what's happening now. the other side of that is we're not getting rich because of it, because we're just recommending it and we don't get any money and we want to stay on the air. So if you happen to have the resources to support us, then we've got donate buttons on lostartsradio.com, lostartsresearchinstitute.org, and also Subscribestar subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. Any of those ways can help us keep going and hopefully be able to build a school. If you're a member of Planetary Healing Club, where we talk about deeper issues and share information in an interactive live group that meets every Saturday at 4:30 p.m. or no, what is it? 6 p.m. Pacific time, Saturdays, 9 p.m. Eastern time. If you're part of that, that's for people that really want to take it to the next level and start working on themselves and be able to talk about personalized situations, life and health and consciousness issues that we're allowed to talk about, not give medical advice or, you know, diagnoses or anything, forbidden stuff like that, but share information that is hidden right now. If you're part of that and you know other people that would like to be part of it, we're looking for people all over the world that would want to be part of that effort. And if you know them, just let them know about it. They can go to planetaryhealingclub.com and that's the portal, and they can write to us if they have questions through that or through the Facebook group. Contact forms on the website. Lost Arts Radio has an active Facebook group. You're invited to that. That's free. And remember about these continuing Sunday shows too. The Planetary Healing Club meeting is on Saturdays, as is the live show that deals with current events, and it's right before Planetary Healing Club, 4:30 Pacific time, 7:30 Eastern. And I'd like to have your input. Tell us what you think. Ask questions, make suggestions for topics, anything like that that you want to do. We're just encouraging you as much as possible. If you want to take care of yourself and your family and the world and your country and everything, it all starts with taking care of yourself. Get your health back. Educate yourself. Learn about what's going on in the world and find out what forgotten abilities that you've got that could really turn things around. Because our message is that you're the key person in the future, you know, to determine what kind of future we're all going to have, and we need your help. So work on this with us if you're willing to. And I think that's about it. Main website is lostartsradio.com. That leads to all the others. And don't forget all the different shows that and all the hundreds of videos that we've got available. And communicate with us and communicate during the week on the Lost Arts Radio Facebook group. And if you're in Planetary Healing Club, we've got a special forum active all week, which is Discord. And you can get into that once you're a club member. I think that's it. Thanks for joining us for talking to Dr. Rima and Ralph. And we'll look forward to seeing you again soon. Talk to you in a while.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribe Star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest new selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editor's picks videos right on their homepage. Visit brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at planetaryhealingclub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Stay tuned, because up next, you'll get to hear a really great song by an independent artist that we're doing our best to support. Go to lostartsradio.com/music for the full list of all the great songs and bands that we spin on our audio-only podcast shows. If you're in a band and want to submit a song for consideration for airplay on Lost Arts Radio, visit my website at diamonddiscaudio.com for more information about the music placement, mastering, and mixing work that I do. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.
Fly to the moon that you could be invisible. Live your life and leave no tracks. Or that you'd be the most beautiful and have the world lounge at your feet. I know I'd pass on all of these if I could only learn to heal. Heal the hatred and heal the wars. Clean the slates that hold the scars. Heal the health and all the pain. Heal everything driving us insane. Heal the present. Heal the past, heal the planet so it will last. Heal the marriage that's on the rocks. Heal the hearts encased in locks. Heal the fears that hold you back and help to get your life on track. Heal the government and corporate whores who rob us blind and block the doors. Lord, I'll offer a great deal. If you help me learn to heal. Oh, I wish that I could heal. I wish that I could heal. Hey, hi-ya, hey, hey, hi-ya, hey, hi-ya, hey, hey, hi-ya, hey. Would you wish for a peaceful world and a contented heart? Or would you give your wish to someone else and give their lives a brand new start? Would you help every dream come true for any person in the world? Ah, you'll do this and so much more if you'll only learn to heal.
Hey!
Heal the hatred and heal the wars. Clean the slates that hold the scars. Heal the health and all the pain. Heal everything driving us insane. Heal the present, heal the past. Heal the planet so it will last. Heal the marriage that's on the rocks. Heal the heart encased in locks. Heal the fears that hold you back and help to get your life on track. Heal the government and corporate whores who rob us blind and lock the doors.
Hey, 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 hey